Hello, everyone. This is a recording of a message I did back on June the 2nd. However, we had a few glitches with our recordings. There's three dates in this series that we did, April through to June. And one of the ways we're going to get around that is I'm going to not repeat it because I'm not talking to anyone. But I am going to just have a conversation, pretend that you're here listening, and so let's jump in. Back on the end of April, we started a series called Life Redefined, Living in the Reality of the Resurrection. And we were leaning on the book by, it's called Live Like Jesus, written by Putty Putman. And he is the executive director of the School of Kingdom Ministry at the Central Vineyard, or in the Vineyard Church at Central Illinois. While the title may seem unassuming, the content of his book is not. It is quite profound what he has to say. So we walked that through from the end of April right through to the end of June. And June 2nd's whole theme was the area of forgiveness. And it was entitled Preposterous Forgiveness, The Kingdom Normal. There's a quote every Sunday that has been read during this series, and the quote from Putty is this, which is a good one, so here you go. Why do we believe God's power in the afterlife is more effective than God's power through Jesus now? And that's a great question. It's one that demands you ponder and think about that, because in some ways, we do. Now, in his book, he posits not an idea, but what Scripture says is that because of Jesus' death on the cross, our sins can be forgiven. Forgiveness is a common theme with followers of Jesus. So that's what we're going to focus on today, is the whole thing of forgiveness. And the question becomes, where did the forgiveness of sins enter into the biblical story? Now, for Adam and Eve, forgiveness was needed in the context of their relationship with God. But what we need to keep in mind is that there wasn't a breakdown of the relationship, so to speak. It's not that it was severed. Because as you pay attention to the creation story and further on in Genesis, the relationship isn't disintegrated. Because remember, after they disobeyed, God turned towards them and cared for them. Remember, he covered them with skins, right? And he didn't walk away. He went looking for them, actually. And remember with Cain, too, God protected him with a mark, right? So he wouldn't be murdered or killed. And then when Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife, God protected him from the consequences. So you see this type of posture from God, of God coming and protecting, not turning away from us, not turning away from humanity and abandoning, but rather coming towards us. Now, here's an interesting fact. In the book of Genesis, there is no discussion of the need for forgiveness. Seriously, there's nothing there. What you see is people make bad choices, but it doesn't seem to break their relationship with God. And actually, it seems that God actually gets more involved in their lives. And I don't know if you find that true in your own life, but I definitely find it true in mine. It's interesting, actually. Putty makes this quote, this is what he says. Rather than a relational breakdown, a better description of what happened between God and mankind at the fall is distance. He says, humanity forgot who God was. Trust broke down. God looked for those who had faith and worked with them. That's interesting because, again, you hear that quote, you go, really? And you look back and you think back through the stories, and that's what God was doing. Now, so where did things change? Well, if you continue on into the book of Exodus, when the Israelites are delivered from Egypt, remember at Mount Sinai, the law is given. The law changed the dynamic of how God and the Israelites related from that point forward. When you read in Exodus, and this is in chapter 19, the Israelites were actually called to be a kingdom of priests for the world. And when God came down to the base of Mount Sinai, rather than the people turning towards God, they were afraid, changed their mind, and they wanted Moses to interact with God on their behalf. They didn't want to have to do that. There was that fear that was there. And it wasn't a healthy fear either. And what the Israelites were in fact asking for was a different relationship from what God had intended, because they wanted an indirect relationship with God. And because of that, God made a covenant, which is what we call the law. The law, it kept a distance between them. And what it became was like a ledger-style relationship. There's a good list, and there's a bad list. And truth be known, majority of people like to have rules in place. We like to know, you know, what do we need to do to stay on in the good books, and what do we need to do to get out of the bad books when we get in there. But that's not how relationships are built. So what happened was that the law introduced a way to keep score. And Putty says this. He says, what we usually think of as forgiveness is the act of God moving us from the bad list to the good list under the covenant of the law. And this is why there are explicit instructions throughout the book of Leviticus about how to appropriate forgiveness in various situations. The priest began to step into a new role, one of helping people manage their relationship with God within the context of the covenant of the law. End quote. Interesting. But that's really what happened. And Putty also says, this tells us that wrath is not a property of God's nature. It's a property of the law. That God had no affinity for sin, but it is only in the context of the law that God is duty-bound to punish and pour judgment down upon it. And so Putty asked the question, did God's attitude change? He says, no. But the rules of relationship changed because the Israelites demanded a covenant of performance rather than one of connection and relationship. Now think about that. Don't we tend to want to stay in that place of, you know, we look at our relationship with God through the lens of performance. Am I doing well? Am I keeping, you know, and we keep score. Have I done this, 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 and this? And that if I do all the right things, God will be pleased with me. And that's exactly what God never did intend. That's not God's natural nature. Because what Putty is saying there, God's natural nature is not wrath. It's relationship with us. But the law that came in, that the Israelites demanded, that the penalty of breaking the law is wrath itself. Hope that makes sense. If not, again, I'm going to do a little announcement right now, or an advertisement to buy the book. It's called Live Like Jesus. You can get it Kindle edition, or you can get it in paperback. Either way, and it'll challenge you. It's a refreshing read, and it's one you'll appreciate. So let's get back. So anyway, God's first and foremost desire is to have relationship with his creation, and in particular with humanity. That's always been his desire. And like I said before, a ledger-style relationship is not a relationship at all. Think of it in your own human relationships that you have, be it within your family context, or your friends, or even in business. The whole thing of a ledger, that just kills the thrill of any type of a relationship. And that's not what God had in mind at all. Now, with that, there is a mindset that there is a requirement of forgiveness for the restitution of sin as being a universal truth. That's what we think of. We think that in order to be forgiven, a restitution has to be made. That is built into the nature of who God is and how God operates. Putty states in his book that actually that's not an accurate picture. He says, outside the context of the law, sin and consequences do not include the cutoff from God that happens when we sin under the law. Listen to that again. He says, outside the context of the law, sin and consequences do not include the cutoff from God that happens when we sin under the law. And he goes on to say that the consequences of violating the commandments of the law resulted in a position of God being against us. This is what Scripture refers to as wrath or punishment. And Paul says the same thing in Romans 4. He says, for the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. And then he says, the only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. That's true. You take away the law, what are you breaking? Because that's not how our relationship with God is to be based. It's not to be based on a law. That doesn't make sense. So here you have a position where the Israelites now are in need of two things. One, they need to be redeemed. If they've sinned and there's been a breach in the relationship, they've turned away from God, that needs to be redeemed and they need to be made righteous. And we all do, right? We need to be that right in being because there's that sense of that something's wrong with that brokenness we sense every day we get face to face with it. That's the first thing that the Israelites needed. And the second thing was the need for forgiveness because the law demands wrath. When it is broken, wrath is demanded, right? That's how the law works. So hence what you see in the Old Testament, why priests came along. Because the priest, that was their role. They spoke. They were sort of like the bridge for the people and their relationship with God. And so they would bring sacrifices to the priest. The priest would make the sacrifice. And things would, then the relationship with God would be okay for that one time. And then, you know, they could go away forgiven. But the next time they sinned, they had to come back again with a sacrifice, offer it, give it to the priest, and the priest would offer it to God. And this thing goes on all the time. So in Hebrews, so now, because we want to stay, remember, we're New Testament people. So here's what Hebrews 10 says. This is starting at verse 11. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest, that's Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. And I'm emphasizing all. And then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Jesus was the sin sacrifice required by the law for everyone. Got it? Everyone. Therefore, everyone. Yes, you can look across the street to your neighbor, your coworker, whoever. Fill in the blank. They are forgiven. Do they need to receive forgiveness? Yes. But they are forgiven. And that's why Paul says in his letter to the Romans, chapter 1, it is through faith, not the law, that a righteous person has life, or a person who's right in being. That's what the whole thing of righteous means. They have life. It's through faith, not by obeying the law. I want to read to you a quote from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. This is the second letter, chapter 5. Starting at verse 17, and by the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and this is what Paul writes. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's the good news. That's brilliant. And so what Putty is trying to point out throughout the New Testament, through the Gospels, through Paul's writings, Peter's, all of the New Testament is that we are now a new creation in Christ. We don't call ourselves, we don't say that I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, I'm a new creation. You are a new creation. That is the good news. God has already forgiven the world, already done that. That's all been looked after. So then we need to understand, if that is the case, this is where faith comes into play. God has offered us forgiveness, but it requires faith on our side to receive it. Right? It can be said, but if we don't receive that forgiveness, we won't live from that place of being forgiven. It's just like if somebody else has extended forgiveness to you, but you don't receive it, you won't live in that place that you know that you're forgiven, you're released from that debt you owe them, or for whatever it is. And Putty states this in his book. He says, this is how God relates to the world now. He has forgiven the world, thereby removing the obstacle to relationship. And he sends us out as his friends to tell the world he desires relationship and to invite them into relationship with him. The world is already forgiven. This is a big deal. End quote. Did you get that? The world is already forgiven. Isn't that an easy thing to share with people? To make their day, to bring a bit of sunshine into their day. It's beautiful. It's great news. And where this message gets glitched, though, is this. What generally gets said, and I've said it before, and maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but I know I have. We'll say God wants to forgive you, but you need to repent first. And when you repent, God will forgive you. That's true, if you think about it. Putty says the problem that this causes is that it leads to some questions, such as, and I'm sure this has gone through your head, did I repent enough? Was my repentance genuine? Was their repentance sincere? And Putty says all of these questions hang on the idea that our repentance earns our salvation in some way. Isn't that a mind-blowing thing to think about? That when we do that, that's what we're saying. It's repentance that earns you salvation. And that's so far from what the good news is all about. And Putty says this. He says, what if repentance is not what allows God to forgive us, but what allows us to see we have already been forgiven? What if repentance has more to do with turning toward what God says is true and not what we believe is true? What if repentance is how we receive the forgiveness of God has already extended to us, not what allows God to forgive us in the first place? Great quote, eh? If you remember John the Baptist, he talked about that when he baptized people, it was a baptism of repentance. But John did not describe Jesus' baptism that way. Jesus' baptism was not a baptism of repentance. What's written in the Gospels there is that Jesus was a baptism with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Huge difference. It's a baptism to life, to new life. And that's why Paul talks about in Romans about when we are baptized and we are lowered down into the water, that whole thing of dying to ourselves, and when we come back up, that represents when Christ was raised from the dead, raised to new life. And we too are raised to new life. That's the whole difference. And then as you read through Acts, what's interesting here is the apostles, when they preached, they talked about receiving forgiveness, never asking, never. It's always receiving. To turn from your ways of thinking, turn towards Jesus, and receive the forgiveness that is there. It's already there. And Putty states this, our gospel is not, God is ticked off, but if you apologize, he will get over it. That is not great news, honestly, and it does not match the heart of Jesus. Jesus was always forgiving people without them asking for it. When Peter betrayed Jesus, Jesus forgave him and invited him back into relationship without Peter having asked for forgiveness. Jesus forgave the Pharisees as he hung on the cross. Jesus was always walking in complete forgiveness of the sins of people around him, constantly inviting them to change their mindset and come into relationship with him. In fact, I am not aware of any instance where Jesus forgave someone because they asked for it. He preemptively forgave people almost continuously. And Putty says, this is the heart of God. We carry to the world this amazing news. God has already forgiven them. He is a loving God. Why not get to know him? Why not discover the relationship into which he is inviting you? Doesn't that make your day? Like, you know, so that's, and that is the whole thing of the new covenant that's been made between God and us. It's a covenant of forgiveness and guaranteed relationship, that when you and I sin, we don't break our relationship with God. We have sinned within the context of that relationship when that happens, but God extends grace to bring us back into wholeness, renewing our minds so we can look more like Jesus. And then we have the relationship that God always intended for us. And that is amazing news. You are already forgiven. So I urge you, if you're listening to this and you don't, you know, you're just checking us out, but you've never had that. And I mean a genuine relationship with Jesus, because relationships are rich. And, you know, if you have a close relationship with a friend or with your spouse, do wrongs happen? Absolutely. But is there ever the thought that you're just going to walk away? No, because our true relationship is one that sticks together. And this is what God is asking, is inviting us into. And my prayer for you today is that if you've never done that, that you just pray. All you have to do is ask Jesus, Jesus, I want you to be part of my life, and I want to turn to you, and I want to face you. And I want to follow you, because I know you have the way to just life, real living. And I want to live that way. So I invite you to pray that and just go about the rest of your day or evening, wherever, whatever time you're listening to this. And know that you are forgiven. Know that the people you interact with, God has forgiven. Blessings to you guys.